If you have your Bible and would like to read with me what the Lord has laid on my heart, I'm going to ask you to turn over to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to read some verses beginning with verse number 12 down through the 23rd verse. So Colossians chapter 1, beginning with the 12th verse. Paul is the author of this book. He's writing to the church of Colossae, and he says to them in this first chapter, beginning with that 12th verse, he instructs them and says to them, giving thanks unto the Father. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us, the Father has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And then he says in verse 13, and who hath, and who is it that he's speaking about? He's still speaking about the Father. It's still connected with verse 12. Where he says, give thanks unto the Father. We could probably put give thanks unto the Father right at the beginning of that 13th verse. Give thanks unto the Father who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. By who? By the Son. For by him were created all things that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether there be thrones or whether they be dominions or principalities or powers. Listen to this. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father God, that in him, in Christ, that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, by Christ, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. In other words, God the Father used Jesus Christ or used the Son to redeem or to reconcile all things unto himself. Now he speaks of us. I want you to notice, first of all, this morning that he began speaking about the Father, then he began moved and began speaking about the Son, and now he's going to address us. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked words, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. This is what he did for us. We who were once alienated and once separated from God, this is what he did for us. It's in verse 22, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And I'm going to stop right there this morning. I ask that you bow your heads. Let's pray and ask the Lord for his help, for his anointing in ministering the word. Sweet, sweet Heavenly Father, Lord, we cherish the opportunity to gather here in the house of the Lord with these, the people of God that have come. And we thank you for your eternal, forever settled word, which leads, guides, instructs, and teaches, and corrects and caresses our heart, and gives us inspiration for divine, eternal life. This morning, Heavenly Father, I of my own self can do nothing. I am totally dependent upon you. Let your sweet anointing, I pray, descend and rest upon me and rest upon this congregation. Let the anointing of the Holy Spirit inspire my thoughts and put your words in my mouth. And I pray, Father, that you will let the word of God come forth with a simplicity and yet with a great depth of your word. I pray that you would let it come forth with power and with anointing, and that you would let it fall upon hearts that are touched of your spirit to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. I desire above all things for you to be glorified and for your people to be edified. I pray that you will accomplish those things through us. Bless me to be a blessing to your people. I ask it in the mighty and wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus, the magnificent Christ. And everyone in agreement said amen.
Amen.
So I want to title my message this morning, If the biggest little word in the Bible. If the biggest little word in the Bible. This morning, the setting of scripture that we have shared together is such a powerful and such a profound, deep theological setting of scripture. I've read it several times throughout this week and meditated upon it and studied and looked at it. And the longer I looked and the more that I contemplated and meditated, the larger it became. It's deep. There is no way in the world that we could touch the entire surface of what he has actually said in these verses. Talk about Holy Ghost inspired. Absolutely profound. Sometimes you read over it and you just read it and you don't take time to really contemplate what it's actually saying, but it is broad, it is wide, it is deep, it is high, it is profound. And this morning, I want to talk about four different areas that the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart to minister about and to bring out to you. The four areas that I see, four areas that I believe that the Holy Spirit would have me to bring to you today. Number one, this setting of scripture reveals to us. It reveals to us the work of our Heavenly Father. It reveals to us the love of our Heavenly Father. And it reveals to us God the Father's plan of salvation and reconciling the world back unto himself. It's right there. Secondly, the second thing that I believe these scriptures reveal to us is it reveals both the glory and the majesty and the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I began to read over the verses, I had to confess to myself that, you know, I thought to myself, I don't believe that there's anywhere in the scripture that has more theological, amen, proclamations to make about the Lord Jesus Christ or the Son throughout the whole New Testament. It's amazing. It talks about and it declares the supremacy and the all-sufficiency of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Number three, it reveals to us what it is that God the Father and Christ have done for us and on our behalf. Number four, it concludes by revealing to us that you and I, on a daily, moment-by-moment level, you and I have an active and a constant and a consistent responsibility in the salvation plan of God. Let me say that again. You and I, amen, on a daily and on a moment by moment level, we have an active and constant and consistent responsibility in our salvation, in the plan of God. Let's look through this morning. As we begin to look at the scriptures and at the text, the first thing that stands out from the text and from the scripture is the things that God the Father has done on our behalf. The Apostle Paul begins by saying, "Give thanks unto God, give thanks unto the Father." And then he begins to tell us why it is appropriate for us to give thanks to God and for us to celebrate and magnify the Father. He says, "Give thanks unto the Father because or which hath made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Amen. It is the Father, he says in verse 13, who has delivered us. Amen. Delivered us from the power of darkness. It is the Father. Oh, thank God that he has translated us out of darkness and into the marvelous light of his Son, Jesus Christ. That was the work of the Father. Our Father needs to be praised. Amen. He is the one who has delivered us from the power of darkness. He is the one that has delivered us from the power of sin and Satan's grip. He is the one that has delivered us and translated us, brought us out to bring us in. God always brings us out to bring us in. He brought us out of darkness to bring us into light. It is the Father that has delivered us from darkness. It is the work of the Father that has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. It is the Father that has determined that we might find redemption through the blood of his Son and the forgiveness of sin. It is the Father that pursued after us, that has desired that us, amen, for us to be a partaker in eternal or in an eternal internal inheritance. It is the Father that sent his only begotten Son, amen, that whosoever will would believe upon him, amen, would not perish but have everlasting life. It is the Father that has made us to be a partaker and a participant in eternal life. Thank God for the love of our Father. This is what the Bible declares in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4. The Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, he hath quickened us together in Christ, and he has raised us up together and made us to sit." Some people don't know it yet, but you sit in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. Amen. He says, and he raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Thank God this morning for the love of our Heavenly Father. Thank God for the redemptive plan, amen, of our Heavenly Father. Thank God that he determined that he would reconcile you and I, the lost ones, back to himself. The second thing that the scripture brings out to us is the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 14, if you still have your Bible open. Verse number 14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. I'm here to tell you this morning, thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. For it is through his blood, through his shed blood, that we have the forgiveness of sin. It says in verse number 15 that the Son, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, by the Son, by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Everything that exists was created at the hand of the Son. All things were created by him and for his good pleasure. Amen. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he might have preeminence. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning that nothing is exalted above the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing is exalted above the Lord. And then it says, for it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Amen. What a stunning description this morning of the supremacy and the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. What it's saying is the Son is the firstborn of all creation, and that the Son is the creator of all things. And it states that all things were created by him and for him, and he is the reason that we exist. He is the reason that all things exist. He was before all things, and by him were all things made. Amen. And he is the very image of God the Father. He's the very image. In him the fullness of God dwells. And it is by him and through him that God reconciled all things, both great and small, unto himself. It is through the blood of his cross that we are reconciled back to God from our sins. Amen. Listen what the Bible says concerning Jesus. It's found in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 7. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 7, he, Jesus, he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then it says, wherefore, because he came and because he was willing and because he was obedient, the Bible said, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and of things in earth and of things under the earth. Amen. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm here to tell you this morning, he is supreme over all things. So we see, number one, we see the work and the plan of our Father. We see the love of our Father. But secondly, we can see the majesty and the glory and the supremacy of Jesus Christ. Amen. No wonder he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. He is all things. Thirdly, the third thing that we see in our text is what he has done for us. What he has done on our behalf. Look at verse number 21. Verse 21 says, and you, that means me, that means you, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Did you know that there was a day, there was a time, there was an hour when you and I were alienated from God? We were separated from God. We were lost. That word alienated literally means isolated. How about quarantined? Amen. Separated from God. We had no way into God's presence. Do you realize under the old covenant that the only one that could literally enter into the presence of God was the high priest, only one time a year? No one else was allowed behind the curtain of the Holy of Holies. No one but the high priest, and he couldn't go just any time he felt like it. He could only go one time a year on the day of the great day of atonement. But Jesus Christ came and broke down the middle wall of partition. When he died on Calvary's cross, the veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. What did it mean? It means that right now we all have access anytime we want to. We're no longer quarantined. We're no longer alienated. We're no longer separated. But we can enter into the very presence of the Holy God. Amen. When we bow and come to him in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 22. The last part of verse 21 says, yet now hath he reconciled. How did he do it? In the body of his flesh through death. He paid the penalty for us. And then I love this last part. Look what he has done for us. To present you holy. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now I'm going to tell you something right here and right now. They say confession is good for the soul. There have been some times that I have done some things that I was to blame. There have been a few times when, amen, I needed to be reproved. There was some times in my life that I didn't act so holy. Hello? But you know what he did for me? What he did for you? He came and gave the ultimate sacrifice so that he could wash us and cleanse us and make us free from our stain. Amen. So that he could present us to God the Father, holy, unblameable, unreprovable, meaning we are without flaw and without blemish in the sight of our God. Amen. Can you imagine this morning? We are blameless in Christ. We are spotless in Christ. We are unblameable. We are unreprovable. We are unblemished. We are untarnished. We are not guilty. We are guiltless in the sight of God. And all because of what Jesus did for us at Calvary. Glory to God. All of those things are mine. All of those things are yours. Not just on Sunday, but every single day of the week. Amen. All because of Christ. But now we come to number four. We've looked at, amen, we have looked at what God has done, the majesty of Christ, and we have looked at thirdly at what he's done for us. But now we come to the fourth part that I see in this text, and we are unreprovable and unblameable, and we are guiltless and spotless. And the Bible said that our sin has been removed as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. Amen. We can come boldly before the throne of grace, right into the very presence of the Almighty God, made holy by the blood, made unreprovable by the blood, made guiltless by the blood, every day of the week. Hallelujah. But now we come to our responsibility. All of that is available if we get to our part now, verse 23. All of the things that we have talked about, the plan of God, the love of God, the majesty of Christ, the forgiveness of sin, the unblameable, unreprovable, the holy, separated, wonderful light, not just once a year, but any time we determine we're going to go before the throne. It's all there. It's all available, not just on Sunday, but every day. If ye continue, oh, you mean I have to do something? Oh, you mean I'm responsible for something? Yes, let me tell you, God's salvation plan was all God's idea. Amen. All he needs for you and I to do is to participate. It's already been paid for. It's already been made available. It's already there. It's not like we this morning, amen, are in our guilt or in our sin and we look and say, oh, I wish there were a way that I could be free from this guilt. I wish there a way that I could be free from this shame. I wish there was something that I could do about my shameful self. No, it's already there. It's available. All we got to do is continue in what God has already ordained. If you continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. You see, our responsibility is to continue. But Pastor Gary, I stumble and I fall. Get up. Dust yourself off. Repent and keep going. But Pastor Gary, I fail and I made a mess. Get up. Brush yourself off. Repent. Let the Lord wash you in the blood and keep right on going. Amen. But Pastor Gary, you don't understand. I've made some mistakes. Get up. Brush yourself off. Repent and keep on going. Continue. Continue in the faith. Continue grounded in his word. Continue, amen, to be settled and steadfast and unmovable. Amen. I may have fell. I may have fallen. But brother, I will get myself back up and I will keep marching on for the Lord. That little two-letter word, if, it's one of the smallest words in the English language. I did a little Bible search on my Bible software. In the King James Version, the word if is used in over 1,400 verses. And each one of those verses, the word if is connected to a promise. The promises are ours. If. Let me give you a few. If you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Well, what happens if you don't? You won't. Jesus said, if you forgive those who trespass against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you of your trespasses. Well, what happens if you don't? He won't. Hello? If the smallest little word, but it has great ramifications. The word if is a conditional word. It gives us a condition or a prerequisite that must be followed in order to obtain the promise. We all love the promises of God, and there are many of them, and they are wonderful. But I'm here to tell you, amen, God also has given to us some responsibility to obtain the promises. If is considered a cause portion of the cause and effect. Paul says all of these things are God's plan and God's will. And he talks about the supremacy of Christ and the glory and the majesty of the Lord. How he came to redeem and reconcile us back to God. And he said it's all ours if you continue in faith. If you continue to be grounded, steadfast, settled, and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Amen. What I'm praying this morning that the Holy Spirit will help for me to get across to you this morning is that God the Father's plan is already in place. It's not that we cannot obtain it. Amen. It's just simply that we must be yielded and willing and obedient to continue to walk in faith and continue to stay grounded in the word and continue to stay settled in our heart with our relationship with the Lord. Those that are wishy-washy or those that wishy one way and washy out the next day, amen, I'm here to tell you, you'll never have it. It's not that it's not available, but brother, we've got to be settled, rooted, and grounded. If I took a tree, even a large tree, and I planted it in the soil, fertilized the soil, watered it, and nurtured it, and 2 years later dug it up and moved it someplace else, it might survive. It would have an effect on it. Can you say amen? Amen. But it might survive. And let's say that I left it there 2 years. And you know, I don't think I like where I put that. And I dug it up. And I moved it again. At some point, that tree is going to perish. Because it's not rooted. It's not grounded. It's not settled. What am I saying this morning, and what is the Holy Spirit speaking to our heart this morning? What God is saying is make up your heart, make up your mind, get rooted, get grounded, get settled, get in and stay in. All of these things are yours. You can be unreprovable and unblameable and holy in the sight of God. It's not that it's not attainable, but brother, in order to have it, we've got to continue in the faith, and we've got to stay grounded in the word and stay settled in our relationship. Amen. And when we do, we'll have what God said we could have. Hallelujah. If you continue in the faith, if you continue in the faith, amen, that little word if carries such a large meaning. God the Father has already reached out to us in love. He has already made available the wonderful eternal plan of his salvation. We can be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. We can be translated from darkness into the kingdom of his Son. It is available. It is accessible. It is not out of our reach. But in order to have it, we must continue in faith. We must continue to be grounded and settled and be not moved away from the gospel. Jesus Christ has already revealed himself to be the preeminent King of the ages. He has already, amen, revealed himself to be the one through which salvation can be found and which redemption can be had. And this morning he stands with opened arms and says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This morning he stands, amen, with his hand at the door, and said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, he said, I'll come in and I'll sup with him and he can sup with me. Amen. What he's looking for is an intimate one-on-one relationship. We can have salvation. We can stand in his presence, holy and unblameable and unreprovable. But there is a prerequisite to the promise. If we continue in faith, if we continue to be grounded in faith, if we continue to be settled in faith and be not moved away from the gospel. This morning, the Spirit of the Lord just kind of spoke to my heart this past week as I studied this. And let me just tell you, there are some things that have come into our heart and into our life. And here is their objective. Some things we maybe have allowed to get in the way. Here's their objective. This is what the enemy is trying to do. He's trying to get you unrooted, ungrounded, unsettled, and moved away from the hope of the gospel. And the reason that he's trying to do that is because he knows that you cannot have the promise if you don't apply the prerequisite. You can't have the promise if you don't continue in faith. So what does the enemy do? He sends things, circumstances, situations, things into our life that catch our eye, and we go chasing after this instead of being rooted and grounded and stable and steadfast in the Lord. We go running after something else. I'm here to tell you this morning, all he's endeavoring to do is to get you to move away from the hope that's in the gospel. But if you will remain steadfast, unmovable, unshakable, continuing in the faith and continuing in your relationship with the Lord, then all of the things that he talked about in the previous verses, they belong to you. They're yours. They're mine. Are you continuing? Ask yourself this morning, are you continuing? Am I being steadfast? Am I being stable in my relationship? Am I remaining grounded? Am I growing in faith? Or am I allowing something to move me away from my relationship with the Lord? Am I allowing something to come in and move me further away from the hope that's in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Amen. If the biggest little word in the Bible, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And if you doubt not in your heart, it shall obey you. If not, we will have not. If we do not continue in the word, settled and rooted and grounded and stable in our relationship with the Lord, then we're going to find that we are blemished, that we are reprovable in His sight, that there are things that are moving us away from the gospel and from the hope of our hope in Him. Bow your heads this morning, if you would please, all over the building. This morning, the Spirit of the Lord is asking us, are we remaining steadfast? Are we remaining unremovable, grounded and settled in our faith in Christ? Or are we allowing something come along in our life and move us away from our commitment, from our relationship, from our desire to serve the Lord? Holy Spirit is talking to us this morning. Amen. How many of you here, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, how many of you here this morning would be willing to slip up your hand and just say, Pastor Gary, I've allowed some things to move me away. Amen. God sees your hand and your hand and your hand and yours and all over the building. I've allowed some things to move me away and didn't even recognize it or realize it. Amen. Any more hands, you'd slip it up. Say, that's me. God bless that hand there. Amen, amen. Stand to your feet all over the building, please. Let me pray with those that lifted their hands, all right? Heavenly Father, the enemy is so sly. And there are times when he literally invades our life for the purpose of digging us up so that he can transplant us elsewhere. Times that he comes to endeavor to move us away from our hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And he does it oftentimes so slyly that oftentimes we do not even recognize we're being moved away. This morning, Lord, thank you for speaking to our hearts and showing us that all of the promises that we hold dear, they are ours if we continue, if we remain steadfast, grounded and rooted, if we are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, if we keep our relationship strong with the Lord. I pray, Father, that every single hand that's been lifted here this morning that said, Lord, I've allowed some things to move me away, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would cause them to be able to take inventory deeply into their heart and deeply into their spirit and recognize the snare of the fowler and recognize the snare of the enemy. And Father, bring us back. Bring us back to that place of being rooted and grounded and continuing in our faith. continuing in our walk. That all of the things that have been promised to us through your word remain ours. Remain our promise from our Father. Touch their hearts, touch their lives. Slip up your hands this morning all over the building, if you would, please. Begin to pray and begin to thank him. Begin to ask him, Lord, shine your light into my spirit and into my heart, and let me see. Let me see the error of my way. Let me see the error of the enemy. Let me see where the enemy has tried to move me off the mark. Amen. And oh God, keep me. Keep me in the palm of your hand. Help me to continue in the way of the Lord. Help me to continue in the thing of God, rooted and grounded and settled forever in my Jesus. Moved not away from the hope of the gospel that belongs to me in Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Go ahead and say.